All right. It certainly is. Father, we just praise you, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time that's coming up ahead. Lord, we're all excited about what you're fixing to do and what you've already done. We thank you, Lord, for living inside of us, because we know when you're living inside of us, we got everything we need to walk in this world and to defeat the enemy. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. We want to be led by your Holy Spirit, Father, and not any agenda that we have. We want your agenda. You're the one that's in us. You're the one leading us. You're the one guiding us. And Father, we thank you for doing that tonight. We command all communication demons out of here in the name of Jesus to try to disrupt any kind of communication from anybody in here. Or that comes in Jesus' name. You go from us in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that your angels are out there just getting them out of the way in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight, because we trust you, Lord, implicitly. And we praise you, Father, for doing what you're going to do tonight in us. Thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that are going to be answered tonight and this open heaven that we have. And of faith and trust in you, Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, anybody got a prayer request? I can do that. I have that ability. If it gets out of hand, I can do that. All right. Who's got a prayer request? Yeah, go ahead, Ryan. I see you now.
I got a prayer request for our little town that we live in. Today, they are having the first big vaccination clinic here in the town. It's probably for, I would guess most people already have the vaccine, but they have these clinics to encourage some of the local people, and they have buses taking up some of the older folk. We as a family went out this morning to where this clinic is in the town hall, and we prayed there, and we would just want be good if you would agree that they, you know, the bus would break down and they wouldn't be able to take anybody today, and that the whole lot of vaccines that arrived in this town is all saline solution, and they just get injected with nothing, or that people just wouldn't pitch up. It's a small little town, but I do think we haven't had any COVID here, and we stand in faith that we still won't have any of that here, and there's no reason for it to come here in this small little town that we're in. So if you would agree with us with that'll be great.
Okay, I agree that thing is not going to take place today. And if it, well, let's do this. We thank you, Lord, for changing all that garbage out into, like you said, a saline solution in Jesus' name. People just think they got a vaccine. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty supernatural miracles in that little town, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Michael. I believe that there's some people here that's on the in Rosebery that's on the edge, you know, whether they want to take it or not. So I just pray for the Lord that they would not listen to the news, and they would make a good conscious decision for themselves, and they would come out, and we pray that there would be whoever goes into that clinic today that the Lord has called. Would just have a vision of Jesus and the truth when they go there, and they would just not even go at all. So we look forward to hear the testimonies that's come out of that today.
Thank you, Lord. Let it go in there and pour it all out.
Yeah, that's right. It's the 24th of the 9th already in Australia. So far nothing has happened. There's been no big earthquake yet. We'll let you guys know when that happens.
Okay. Well, if we start seeing you shake, we'll know something's going on.
there was, for those who don't know, there was an earthquake in Melbourne yesterday or the day before, 2 days ago. It was a magnitude 6.0 earthquake. It was felt all the way here in Tasmania over the Bass Strait. Biggest one they've had in 50 years, just a couple of days ago. So, yeah.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, David.
Let's pray for the D-class soon on this, the vaccine and everything else, so people can start getting the truth. Quit being hoodwinked and know what's in the vaccines and know that the harm that they're out trying to do to people and the purpose behind the vaccine is not to save lives, but to destroy them. And Lord, we just ask you to open that up. So we start hearing the truth and the no more lies, Lord. We start understanding what's all behind all this and the evil intent behind all this, Lord, that it just come out and be in the open. So people can be appalled, and people, the fearful ones, can run to you if they took the vaccine and repent, Lord. And we can all pray for them and get your salvation, Lord. Get your covering, your blood covering, and forgiveness. Lord, we ask for this for the elect, but also just to be out in the open that the world knows how deceived they have been through this lying serpent demon that's going through all the politicians. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you.
Amen. I was listening to, and I didn't get to listen to, but just a little snippet of it. A South Carolina nurse came forward to the South Carolina State Assembly and made a testimony about he had been a nurse for 31 years, and he was on a floor that had a 99% success rate with their patients, not COVID, just their patients, and they were very proud of that fact that they got those people out and alive and healed. And he was very, and he they paid him quite a bit of money. They paid him like $120-something an hour. And anyway, April the 1st of this year, he quit his job. And he said the reason he quit his job, he found out that they were losing a lot of people due to the procedures. He said, I'm the guy that were killing these folks, and I couldn't figure it out until he finally realized what was happening. And that's as far as I got with it. And it was about a 35-minute deal, and I left to about 5 minutes of it. So anyway, it's going to get out there, it looks like, now, because he went before the assembly and the cameras were working. Now, how it gets out there, I don't know, but it is. It's terrible the way he talked about it. He said they were killing them. That's what he said. They were killing them. Executing them is what he put it. Lord, we just thank you for bringing them all out and opening up this thing in a way that that bring down Pharmakia and all of the people that are involved in it and knows what's happening. Lord, we thank you for doing that, this evil, evil thing that they're doing all over the world. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Malcolm.
I didn't hear Tuesday night's fellowship. I've downloaded it, but I haven't heard it yet.
For shame! For might, shame!
For my shame is.
Go ahead, Malcolm. I didn't mean to interrupt,
brother. I will do penance and. Just remember that for every coin,
confession, huh?
Every coin that hits that upon the bottom of the indulgent little box clings a soul from purgatory springs. I don't know if you remember that from Martin Luther's video. Anyway, it was a great moment. Okay, so anyway, I'm just curious as to whether or not you discussed. The email that you sent out prior to that on Tuesday, it was a incredible blessing and very serious call, especially in light of the 24th, 25th thing. So did you talk about it at all Tuesday? Or not? Anyway, I think you're
good. It generally works a lot better if I unmute. I said, what I said was we didn't talk about it very much at all. Everybody had already gotten it and read it. And
right.
It's just a confirmation, actually, of what we already knew.
Right.
But the Lord is serious, isn't he?
Well, the main thing I'm praying about is who to forward it on to, because I already talked to one person that they said, well, who's that? If they, you know, are they vetted or whatever? It's like, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I mean, it's hard. So, I mean, but we can still pray for people that they'll heal. I absolutely loved what God was saying through this lady, that he's going to orchestrate everything. It's just like right out of Sovereign God, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to orchestrate everything to the minimum amount of pain necessary to get the job done. So, it's just an awesome reminder of these things.
Anyway, well, the thing that he was impressing upon everybody is to get closer to him, wasn't it?
Yes.
Draw closer to him. And once you draw closer to him, he'll know, you know, what's going on.
Right. But I mean, as far as relatives, friends and relatives that we can't share this with just because of where they're at right now,
yeah,
we can still pray that that their hearts will be softened, and of course you want to pray that they'll voluntarily humble themselves before God, because if God has to do it, it's a lot tougher, at least in my experience.
It hurts.
Yeah, it's kind of like the other company that works with Avis. It hurts.
Yeah.
That's all. That's
okay,
all for
then.
Now.
All right. Go ahead,
Ria. It's Claire.
Hey, Claire.
I just want to let everyone know and thank everyone that the Lord has done a tremendous good work in me, and I'm healed, and I was really very joyful in my trial and did not accept the bad report, and Rian prayed for me on Sunday night again and laid hands on me, and there was a big light that I saw, and I was healed, and I've been walking in victory this whole week, and God is great. So
praise,
I just wanted
Lord
to share that with everyone.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Awesome, awesome, awesome God we serve. I want to get to the point, Rian and Claire. I want to get to the point to where he heals me before it hits me. You know what I'm saying? Because I know who lives inside of me. Y'all know who lives inside of us, don't you? Thank you, Lord, that you have already taken care of that stuff before it ever hits me, in Jesus' name. Remember, he said he knows before we pray, he knows. Go ahead, Rhea. I saw you fixing to say something.
Yes, I agree that that is where we're going to end up, right? That's wonderful.
Yep.
But the trial is awesome too.
Well,
I mean, I don't wish that on anybody. I mean, what Claire went through is so much pain. But the fruit of it is just so amazing and so glorious. And it's just, it is as if it never happened, because we were healed already even before it happened.
But the only thing that changed, well, the thing that did change was that I am more in love, more committed, more joyful than what I was before. So whatever the enemy was trying backfired. And that is the point of a trial, is to bring you into that sweet spot. And
Amen.
It's just the most amazing, freeing thing to know that it doesn't matter where you are or what you're going through. He's right there with you, and he's taking you through it, and he's fighting those things, and he's sending the angels down, and he's doing all those things with just the words we say that agree with the word. And I just love him so much. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
But in saying that, we do not accept the curse. No. We are not under the curse. It shouldn't come on us at all. We shouldn't suffer because of the curse. We should, you know, suffer because of living like Christ, rather than being humble and living in humility and being persecuted for our faith and those kind of sufferings. Yes, is to be expected. But we should not accept any infirmities, diseases, the plagues, curses, none of that. They you're right. We should come to that point where it cannot touch us and shouldn't touch us. We should just not accept it at all. And we should live in a way where we are so holy and separated unto God that there's no pathway for it in. There's no way it can even come on you, because you're just, you know, fully repented up and fully walking without sin, completely perfected in Christ, that it doesn't even have, just there's no hole that it can even have on you. And then you suffer everything else, you suffer joyfully. So yes, I agree. Amen. And for all of us, I see every single person here on this screen as already completely perfected in Christ. It's a done work. Even before the foundation of the world, it's already been spoken over each one of you as the elect of God, that you are fully perfected in glory.
Amen. I believe it too, Rio. I believe we're right there. We're getting right there where we don't have to worry about it. All we have to do is keep in tune with Jesus. All we have to do is just talk to him every day. Talk to Mary. Thank you, Jesus, for being right here, brother. Right here.
Never failed us. Never going to fail us. His promises are always true. It's yes and amen forever.
Amen.
We can trust that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If Jesus is inside of us, infirmities can't stay. He can't even come in there. If you've got him, you know. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. Jesus.
One thing I kept on praying, I kept on saying, this is not me. I've been made completely new. I'm Claire 2.0, perfected in Jesus. Do you know what I mean? Like it's me, but better, because it's Jesus in me. And praise God for that.
Amen.
I also wanted to say one thing for Malcolm specifically, that I'm so grateful that God is going to reveal what he needs to reveal by using whatever it is he's going to use, because I feel like some of my family members are going to need that much of a rude awakening. And while I wish that they didn't see it, I'd know that they have to see it, because it's the only way forward. And so I'm very grateful that God is doing it this way and that it's not up to me.
Amen. The thing that we have to do is just, Lord, I'm putting them on the altar. He said, I have household salvation. Bless God, they're a part of my household. You're going to save them. I don't care how you do it. Makes no difference if they die tomorrow, as long as they're in heaven. Makes no, never mind. I'm telling you, because you got eternity to spend with them, if you believe.
We keep on fighting in the spirit. And that's even this morning when we went there. It's not to protest or anything, but no one saw us. It was just, we just felt we needed to get out of the house and just do it. And we then went on and had breakfast somewhere else. And we just said to the kids again, like, we are not here to oppose any flesh. Our fight is not against anybody inside that building. It's on those demons sitting on top of the building. That is where we fight. And you can do that anywhere. You don't have to be there physically. You can pray that from your home. I think it's very important for us to know that that this war we fight in the spirit always. We are not called to rebel, to physically go and walk or fight or talk to anybody. We have to be 100% led by the Holy Spirit, and our fight is in the Spirit. It's against the principalities. It's not against any nurse, doctor, politician, union, government, all of that. No, all of those people have been put there by God. It's heavy on my heart. Like, it's so important that this is where we need to be. We're wasting our time if we do anything physically. We could have been on our knees praying instead, fighting there.
Did you take the kids with you?
Yes.
Awesome. That is awesome. That's a great schooling for them.
We'll had our hands up doing our thing. Like, yeah, I mean.
Amen. Like Christians do. True Christians do. That is awesome. That is awesome. I got out in the woods and did that, but, you know, nobody could see me but the squirrels.
Yeah, no one could. No one could see us. It was just us as a family. It wasn't to make it known to anybody else. So that's clear. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Just something the Lord led us to do as a family together. Yeah.
That's great. That's a good lesson for the kids. It's a great lesson. Malcolm, go ahead. You had your hand up there.
I was just reminded of Henry Groover, prayer walking or marching around, you know, people's homes or, you know, like, for instance, this girl that had major demons, he did high-stepping or something. He demonstrated it. He'd step really high and he'd take the territory. But anyway, yeah, I just reminds me of Henry Groover doing marching around and, you know, doing prayer walking. And or he'd do that in a city area, city block, or a building that was a problem or whatever. I want to respond to Claire. It seems I'm like some relatives. It's like, I'm not speaking against them, but the hearts are so unopen, so hard against these things. I do think it's going to take some major, very hard stuff for them. I'd love to spare them that, but I don't know of a way of cutting through some of these religious spirits. It doesn't even matter. It's not up to me, but that's what I'm praying. I mean, it took me, 10 years of studying into the problems in the denomination, and then another 10. And then I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then it took a lot of learning, a tremendous learning curve to get out of a lot of that stuff for a number of years. These people don't have that kind of time, and God's going to have to, like it pointed out, it's a time-sensitive situation. He doesn't have time for a gentle rain to come down and erode. Now he's going to come down with a hammer. I'd like to spare them that, but I'd rather have fellowship with them like Michael was saying forever. You know what I'm saying? So I'd like to pray for a couple, some friends and relatives. As you know, especially if people have COVID and they end up in a hospital, like a one-way trip, unless God does a miracle. One of the doctors said, Dr. Peter, that the two things that people are most afraid of, and that is going to the hospital, and the other thing is dying. But, I mean, we've all seen, or at least some of us probably have seen footage of nurses, people, whatever, they go in and they absolutely forbid ivermectin and other things that would actually help people. Mm-hmm. And they put them on things that specifically damage organs, and then do things to harm them further. But it's all kind of under the, it's terrible. It's just terrible. I don't know if you guys have seen the Veritas videos that came out yesterday and today.
Yeah,
but it brings you to tears. Go ahead, Michael.
No, I just, you were asking. I said yes. I saw it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So, but I want to pray. There's a gentleman by the name of John that I've been praying for many years now. I won't go into the details because there may be people listening that know, but he came against me. I mean, he just had demons, and his face was contorted and everything in a public situation, very public. But I've just been praying for him, and his heart has been softened over the years since then. And he's very happy to see me now, even though he was so angry and hateful for some time. So he got COVID, and he's gone to a hospital. And I must say that not all hospitals are on board with this, you know, with this intentionally making it impossible for people to survive this. Some hospitals are actually trying to help. But I think if we have to be careful not to generalize, there are a lot of places that really are trying to help. And there, I just saw a headline that apparently some health providers are secretly sneaking stuff to patients to get them out of there. I mean, not get them out, but get them healthy. Sounds like ivermectin and some other things are getting behind the walls of the hospital guards. That was terrible. But anyway, that's encouraging. But anyway, this friend he's got COVID. He's in the hospital, needs oxygen. I just wanted to pray, Lord, that you will, and I know when we pray here, we all pray together. I want to lift him up to you, Lord. You've heard my prayers for many years, and I've thought many times of you sending this angel with a sword of your truth and love and pierce his heart and totally bring him to you. Totally, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, for a complete conversion for him. And I know you've been doing this for years, and I thank you that you're going to continue the work that I've been praying for. You know well about that. So I thank you for sparing his life. Also, I'm just praying that you would show him some of this stuff that's about to happen, and give him a chance to see that a lot of this is the denominational stuff is garbage, and bring him into your truth. Also, I want to pray for my a relative who's just riddled with cancer. We just found this out a couple days ago, and she's she just really needs the Lord. It's more than healing that she needs, in my humble opinion. She needs the total package of salvation. So Lord, I just pray for my relative, Lord, for Kim. I pray that your spirit will come upon her. You'll convict her and bring great sorrow to her heart over, you know, for repentance and all that kind of thing. And I also pray, Lord, that you will heal her. She's awfully young for all this. So, if there's anybody on here that wants to pray for her cancer situation, sometimes I'm not real sure how to deal with that, because I think I will try to get in touch with her personally. Yeah. So anyway, just thank you, Lord, for dealing with this and bringing her to you completely, and even bringing some reconciliation between her and her some of the other family members. So.
Amen. Lord, we lift up Kim to you. And in the name of Jesus, we break the power of this cancer spirit on her. We command it to go from her. In the name of Jesus, we command the spirit of the fear of cancer to go in Jesus' name. And we command that spirit of death off of her too in Jesus' name. Now, Kim, you be healed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that it is done. It is done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Kim. And Lord, we thank you for granting repentance to her. And send somebody in there that knows you, Lord. I pray the Lord of Harvest send somebody in there that she would listen to and that could pray salvation for her, Lord. And I thank you for granting repentance to her in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Kim, rise up from that bed of affliction in Jesus' name and be healed and sin no more. Go and sin no more in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think with all of our families, they're like major projects prayer-wise. So I'm praying for her husband. And I just can see great reconciliation going on with a lot of family members that have been just so beat down. So that's why I'm so excited about, as terrible as it is, I'm excited about what's coming, and I should be terrified too, I guess, in a godly way. A godly way, not in fear of the Lord, but not fear of God. So anyway, God bless you all.
Amen. Bless you, brother. I don't understand that, Judy. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was just listening to Malcolm's prayer there. For his, and kind of goes along with the theme of what we're talking about here tonight, but the scripture popped in my mind about in Jude, where he says, "And some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating the garment spotted by the flesh." And it just seems like we are at a point, maybe even in our own lives, in some patterns, but we're definitely in a time here in our country where this environment is so polluted and has been so polluted for generations that it's going to have to take a tremendous fear to motivate people to be willing to accept the gospel. Except the only real way out. And it just kind of, I'm also thinking of that scripture that said that when Jesus, I don't know if he was telling a parable or he's talking to the disciples, but he said, don't fear him who can kill the body, but rather fear him who, when he has killed the body, can destroy the soul in hell. And obviously, he's referring to God. And we're in a point in time. And again, I almost have to say that in my own life, I have to look at, there's just certain things that I've seen that here I'm going to get introspective again, but that it's almost like I need a heavy dose of the fear of God to overwhelm some of these inner things that I feel like I struggle with. That's on the personal note or whatever, but I think we're in that same way in society, that it's going to take a tremendous amount of fear. Fear is a very strong, powerful emotion, spiritual, you know, force within us. And I think that's why God uses it literally every time that the children of Israel repented, and you know, in Judges you can read it, and all through the scripture, where they got self-indulgent and happy in their faith, and then they grew into depravity, basically, and God had to bring in a nation that struck fear in their hearts and destroyed people, great destruction, until there was repentance, until there was a humbling and an openness to receive God and to seek out and find God. And it just seems like there's just this constant cycle that continues on through history. And I guess on the personal level, I feel like I so desire to break that cycle, whether that be a cycle in me or cycle in society or whatever it would be. My prayer and hope and desire to see that completely shattered, to be existing in that that perfection. I think Rian was talking a bit about it, about the same thing, is that total envelopment of God's life and spirit emanating from us, and that old man completely dead, no popping up out of the background or anything like that, but not only dead by faith, but dead in reality. I'm sure you, obviously, I'm sure you understand what I mean. I'm not talking about, Pat being out there in the 6 feet under in the ground. I'm talking about that dead, carnal man, never to rise again, but the rising of Christ within us. Anyway, I feel that unfortunately, I feel like I would want to pray for people in one way, but I think God is moving people, has to do that initial thing of fear there in order to bring people into that place that they're willing to receive God and receive the only answer. So I sympathize with Malcolm, because it's hard to know how to pray. How do you lock on in sync with God in that process? That's my own struggle as well. But Father, you know the way. You certainly, this is not your first rodeo. You know how to bring people through into the light of your life and into the light of your truth, Lord. I just pray for Malcolm's friends, his relations, his family, as well as our own, Lord, that we are in this time when there needs to be a shaking, so that the at least people can recognize that they are shaking, and that we will all shake if we're not founded in you and in your truth and in your life, Lord. So we come together, and Lord, I just join with you in unity to cooperate in that process. And we just ask for wisdom for us all, how we can cooperate with you in this process and be ready to share the gospel when necessary, to share what you've done in our life when necessary, and even in sometimes just to keep quiet and let you do your work. And so we thank you for that. We just thank you for your grace, which is sufficient for every one who comes to you. And we thank you for it, for we're saved by that grace only through your faith. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I found out actually today when I start stalking and I start the third Sunday of next month.
Okay.
So three Sundays from now.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this great job he's going to start stocking the stuff. Lord, we thank you that he gets a chance to do that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, Pat, that's the Lord all... The Lord, of course, lives inside of us. And I'm finding out some things here just recently about the Lord. When he lives inside of us, he brought everything with him inside of us that he had when he walked on the earth, right? And if he did brought everything with him, he brought holiness also. He not only brought holiness, he brought deliverance, he brought healing, he brought everything. Remember what it says in Ephesians, what is that? One in, one in 3, I'm thinking. Give me a minute here. Yeah. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who? Us, with every, not one or two, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Are we in Christ? Absolutely, we're in Christ. And if we're in Christ, bless God, we have access to all of it. And all we have to do is just claim it. Thank you, Lord, and I'm walking that holy life. Thank you, Lord, I can look in the mirror and I see you. Thank you, Lord, because Michael's dying. You know, and that's the attitude he wants us to take every day we get up. Thank you, Father, you're inside of me, and you're getting bigger and I'm getting smaller. Thank you, Lord, that I'm walking that holy walk that you want me to walk. And that's the way he wants. And I'm healed. I don't care what the devil says or what my body says. I'm healed in Jesus' name. You know, that's the way we have to do it. That's what he wants us to do, to realize it. It's Jesus in us. And if Jesus is in us, everything that he had on the outside, he has on the inside of us now. All the miracle working power that he had on earth, he had put in us, bless God. And now we have to do is claim it and walk in it. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I wanted to just jump in there before Samuel. There's, and I, let me just say, I agree with that 150%, exactly what you're saying. I think, and maybe this is a but, I don't know. If it is, you can also consider this a prayer request in the making. But I think what I have been experiencing, and that is, I just like there's one question. If you're not aware of something, do you really have it? You might have it, but are you, if you're not aware of it, can you be functioning in it? Can you be using it? So to speak?
That's a good question. That is a good question.
So
I remember. Go ahead.
So it seems like this discipleship process or this sanctification process that God has been taking us all through in the wilderness is a point of making us aware of what's within us, therefore what we need in him. Because if I never had a need if you don't have a need, you don't become aware of that need. You don't become aware of the solution. You never, it never happens. And so consequently, if there's certain things that I'm struggling with, that let's just say I see the things that are out there, I see the results or the consequences or the symptoms, shall we say, that are keep popping up, but I'm not, there's something, there's not a connection, I'm not quite aware of something, because I haven't, because if I was aware of that something, I would obtain it from God. I would see it as what I can grab. I can see the answer to my prayer. I can see the answer or the promise or the solution in God, and I can nail it down. But if I'm, but I seem to keep getting these symptoms pop up, shall we say, not quite aware of where the connection is, what's the cause, or where, you know, where it is. Have maybe a feeling of where the cause is, but therefore I'm not able to nail the promise, or shall we say, grab God, obtain the solution in that way. So it's kind of, there's an awareness lack there or something, is kind of what I'm feeling. But I'll throw that out and just stop.
Okay, that's a good question. Let me just relate a story to you, and this may help you. Had a friend bought one of those great big fine SUVs, right? Actually, it was given to him. He drove that thing for a year. Man, it was a fine job, too. It was a good job. One day, he had his son go pick up something or something, and anyway, he came back. And he was standing there talking to him. He said, he told him, he said, give me the keys. I'm going to drive wherever he was going. He was going to drive, you know. And before he did, he looked away, and his son started the car with the keychain, with the thing. And the guy looked over and he said, who's in the car? He said, you didn't know it did that, did you? He said, no, what are you talking about? So he shut it off. He said, you didn't know it did that either, did you? He said, no. He said, I didn't know it did that. He said, it's got heated seats and everything. He said, I turn the heater on. I can turn the seats on. I can do all this stuff with this little old bitty key here, this little old bitty electronic thing. He said, you mean to tell me when I was out in Denver and all that cold weather, I didn't have to go out in the truck and turn the car on and heat it up and go back inside where it was cold, you know, all that? He said, I didn't have to do that. He said, no, you didn't know I need to do that, did you? No, I didn't know that. And he got a little bit mad, but then he got to thinking, and the Lord spoke to him at the time, and he told him, he said, that's what you're doing to my blessings. You don't know you have them. He said, I have already given them to you. They've already been made available to you. All you have to do is go out there and punch the button. And that's where we are. We're getting there.
Would you give me grace, Lord?
Amen. He'll give it to you too, Pat.
So, Father, we just I thank you for that story. Thank you, Lord, that you are able to not only make us aware of these promises, your word, but you're able to give us the awareness to make that connection. I thank you, Lord. We thank you that we are full. We have the complete package that you've given us in Christ. And Lord, I thank you for that. Just give us grace and wisdom to push the button, the right button, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Well, you know how men are, Rion. We know everything there is to know about, everything there is to know about, you know. That's just the way we are.
That's the point, right? Is that we'd rather just watch a video or something, or let me just see how this car works on YouTube instead of, you know, if you actually go through it, in the manual, it tells you everything, how to change the oil filters and everything if you wanted to know. It's actually in there. I've never read it, but apparently it's in there. But that's how we are with the word, right? If we just read the word, apparently all the blessings are in there. We just don't know it because we're too busy watching all sorts of other stuff. And meanwhile, God has put every single thing in the word for us to read and study and know. It's all there. That's how we become aware of it.
Hey, man. Thank you, Father. That's our manual, isn't it? That's our manual. Go ahead, Samuel.
We have a prayer request, if that's okay.
Yes, ma'am.
A brother and sister in Christ, they're like late 70s, early 80s. They were in a really bad car accident, and Jan, she's been in a coma for a while, and she's out of the coma now, and the doctors say she can't like move her neck, and she's never going to be able to walk again, and I don't even think she can speak or anything. Mm. And we just wanted to pray, if that's okay, and just have everyone in agreement, if that's all right.
Okay. All right. Are these Christian people?
Yeah. They've got the Holy Spirit and everything.
Oh, that's good.
But we think they took the vaccine and stuff, so I don't think they're like
fully. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to pray. And y'all are going to believe with me. Everybody's going to believe with me. Now, what's your name?
Jan and Basil.
Okay. Basil? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Look, we lift up Jan and Basil to you, Lord, your children. And we thank you, Father, for the authority that you've given everybody in here to do what we're fixing to do. In the name of Jesus right now, I command healing in their bodies, both of them, in the name of Jesus. I command that everything that was taken away from them to be repaired in Jesus' name, restored in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that they are both healed, delivered, and set free. And if they've taken the COVID, I neutralize everything that went in their bodies in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that they are completely free of those, any kind of vaccine in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for raising them up and bringing them out of that bed of affliction in Jesus' name. Jan, I think you said Jan and Basil, get up out of that bed of affliction in Jesus' name. Arise, as the Lord said, and get up in Jesus' name. Take up your bed. Amen. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Thank you, Father. Yeah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. You can go in there and put your hands on him and say, you're healed. Get up out of there. Just like Jesus did. Because he's inside of y'all, just like he's inside of everybody in here. Amen. All right. Somebody else had their hand up. Let's see. Who was it? Let's see. Somebody had their hand up. Anybody see anybody?
Cut it out, Michael.
Yes.
Okay. Julie put up in the chat concerning what we were talking about with Pat. And she put up 2 Peter 1:3-4. But I'm sorry, Julie, you needed to add 1 and 2. So it relates to what we're talking about here. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a like precious faith with us in the righteousness of our God and the Savior Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue, by which he has granted to us precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. So it's, you know, you got to get into the word and read it to know what your blessings and promises are. What's yours? You know, so peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God. So, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. A lot of good scriptures in there tells us who we are. Praise God. Read and believe. That's right, Dave. All right, Carol, go ahead. I saw you had your hand up a while ago. Oh, she had to go get her a drink or something.
Unmute. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I think I have like a twofold. The whole time I've been listening, I really like was tuning into the Lord, and I had such a heart. And I feel like it is God saying, he is so moved by this group and listening to each one. And then, of course, I moved at the same time. So I think there's like this great love that he's lavishing, and he's hearing everybody's prayer. And I'm really moved by that right now. So that's one thing. So I just felt he wanted to pour his love onto all of you, and he's hearing everybody's prayer, and he's really pleased with this group. And then the second part of the message is I'm moved by the support of just joining this group, how the tools that God has given us, they're like being sharpened and so fast since I've joined this group. And I really wanted to speak to Pat too at the same time, Pat, because I really have that heart and that desire to be fully surrendered to the Lord. I sense that about this whole group as well, by the way. And today I, because I've been back full time and my job has an incredible amount of pressure. And the pressure hit me at one point today where what I'm trying to overcome, right, hit me. And it wasn't until my lunch break that I had to stop. I had to lie down and I had to go, what am I thinking? What is going on in my head? I felt despair. I felt that I was worthless. The stuff that was attacking was ridiculous. And I was thinking, how can somebody even live with this amount of pressure, right? Then suddenly, I just tuned in to what does the truth say about me? As soon as I started to shift and practice what we do talk about doing, taking that sword, and I said, Lord, I said, I am so sorry. I want to believe in this most broken, ridiculous place that's coming to me. You're inside of me. You're greater than what is going on here. Fight for me, because I don't really know how to fight other than to say, heal my unbelief. And I think that's what hit me the most, is that I want to be healed. There's a place where I don't know what this is, but the fact that I'm willing to show up and to pray and to let the Lord take this place that has unbelief, take this place that is saying horrific lies, take this place and change me. It's broken. You said you heal this broken place. I want this broken place healed. And I, the headaches, the pain, the horrible thoughts just lifted off of me so fast. The second part of my day, normally, I was even thinking, I'm going to quit my job. Oh my God, I'm going to be sick again, blah, 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 blah. All of that horrible stuff. But it's so emotionally attached to me that I don't even know how to separate from it, except for what I'm being reminded. This is a spirit of fear. This is a spirit that does not come from me. I will fight this fight for you. When I finally surrendered, I just confessed, this has to be unbelief. This has to be an idol that has set up in me in this emotional place. And it's saying a lie against you. I want to believe, Lord. And so it broke away. And my afternoon with, I was having one call after another with clients that had accidents. And I was so present. And I even just ignored the fact that, because that's my pressure, okay? I'm just going to share it with you, is that it's a worldly job and they evaluate you by speed. And I don't do speed. I do quality. I want to connect with customers. I want to give them, well, provide peace to them after they've been in accidents. So then that's what I'm hearing from the clients. They're saying, wow, Carol, thank you so much. You brought me peace, or Ms. Bergeron. Of course, they don't call me by first name. But so they're the confirmation. That's how God is speaking back to me, saying, look what you did. You put your attention not on how fast you're doing the calls, but back on how my heart, God's heart, through you is connecting to these people and we're spreading peace. Forget about the rest, how they're going to evaluate you. You're still there. They haven't thrown you out yet and you can't reach the numbers. Obviously, they like something about what, you know, God is doing through me there, right? So when I turn back to him, but like I'm honest about this is extremely broken, terrifying, scary place that I sense wants to just take over me, right? But the scriptures came, you know, just for Pat, is like my people my people die or are lost for lack of knowledge, right? And I go, but I have knowledge of you, Lord, give me the weapon. And so he gave me scriptures. And so I ended up just with that, just confessing, no guilt, just confession. I think it was, well, one of you guys that had helped me just, you know, recognize this is a fear, name that sucker and cast it out. And so I started to do that violent with the violence that was attacking me. I said, I'm going to violently gag you. I'm going to violently strangle you. And now I'm going to blow your head off. And then I was like up again. And I wasn't jumping all over the place. I was super calm, but free from this horrific attack. And the other part, I thank you, God, right now. I'm so moved. Sorry. This is me. I'm so moved by how amazing and how lovely our God is and how much he cares deeply for each one of us. And he brings us together and he moves our heart to have the compassion of Christ. And he moves us out of the oppression that this ridiculous bully puts on us. And yes, for lack of knowledge, we have the knowledge, we have the weapons, we have each other. We need each other to be able to go to that next level right now. Each other in Christ, of course. So that place where there was like this third level of great pain that was hitting me, and I really felt this gentleness come upon that place and say, I will never leave you, Carol. I will never forsake you. And that, I think I needed that. I think Tuesday, somebody on the group was talking about rejection, and I could relate to that. Rejection is like the deepest, most painful place, but it's the place the Lord comes and grabs us and speaks life into us. And so he did that as well. So I just want to say thank you, God, and to say thank you to the body of Christ that's here. And however I can bless this group, my desire is to dream about each person that you've put together here in the night, because to pray and dream for each other and pray for each other, it's not even a burden when we're connected to you, because your heart, Lord, is that not one of your children would stray, not one of your children would be lost. And that to me is phenomenal. And that we continue to have the courage and strength to pray for our families that are not in the Lord, our brothers and sisters that don't know you yet, and that we would continue to be bold to love on them and to be patient with them and to really stand with the breast plate of righteousness against the enemy and say, you shall not pass. You shall not touch my family. You shall not touch any of those that God has given me. And because we have the mighty name of Jesus and he has overcome, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the confession of my mouth. He is my God. He is my truth. He is my stronghold. He is my high tower. He is my defender. He is my friend. He is my husband. He is the one true God. He is the only one that is worthy. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Make me want to get up and dance around, Carol. Glory to God. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. That was very uplifting. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, Isaac, you missed it, brother. Glory to God. You just missed it. How you doing, brother? All right. All right. Lord bless you. All right, anyone else? This is going good. Don't stop now. What do you think, Andrew? Where'd he go?
Hello, I'm up here. I was just about to ask a question.
Oh, there you are.
But I think I'll answer your question first. You know, this question, when Jesus was in the porch of Solomon, you know, Jesus ran into these things that we ran into, that we run into in our lives too. He was in the porch of Solomon. They all came up to him. They surrounded him. You know, can you just picture yourself there now as Jesus? You know, you're being surrounded by all these guys here. And I think this is in chapter 10 of John. And they wanted him to tell them, like, tell us, why do you keep us in suspense? Just tell us that, who you are, you know. And he said, I did tell you, you know. He's saying that everything he gets and speaks, it's not his word. It's coming from the Father. Everything he does is coming from the Father. You know, I think at some point there, they picked up stones, ready to stone him. I mean, he's surrounded. You know? What can he do? But it ends up that he walks right through the middle of all of them, and nothing happens to him. Like, were they bad aimers? Did he all of a sudden, did he disappear? You know, and yet, this is, of course, the Father interfering with this, you know. Was he thinking, well, I'm surrounded by people who are the, even covenant people. He's surrounded by covenant people that disagree with him. And he gets to make it through, you know. And you know, when Pat was talking, I was thinking about that parable of the strong man, and then the stronger man comes. And this stronger man comes, and he takes the armor away from the devil, basically. And he even ties him up. And you're there, filled with armor. You have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You're even shining too much for this guy that's all tied up. And you've got a sword there, and you don't know what to do. Like, he's all tied up. He's got no armor. You've got a shield. You've got a sword. You're full of armor, the armor of God, and you don't know how to poke him. And that's the way we sometimes are. And I just can't understand that sometimes myself, you know, like, what has come over us here except an interference in this mind of ours that's not the right thinking. And this in itself is an interference, is a temptation from the dark side. And now we have to stand up and just do what we're supposed to do. You know, it's like you're a little kid there going, what do I do now? Or you're waiting for the word. Okay, now go poke them with your sword, you know. I don't know if that's it or it's the Lord who's in control here, you know. And even if you're surrounded, or even if that adversary comes against you, it ends up that you do end up having the victory, just like what happened with Carol, her testimony there. And I guess if it happens to us more and more, it'll just come naturally for us to go forward with what we're supposed to do and just do it. Just rely on the Lord. This is a practice for you. I know at the time you don't think it's a practice. You think you're in trouble, but you know, it is, you know. And I don't know, you know, sometimes you'd be there and a phone call comes and you're looking at your phone and you're going, oh, it's not that person, you know. And you can feel it welling up inside you. Oh, I don't want to talk to that person right now, you know. I got better things to do than talk to that person. But, you know, it might be something pertinent. So you answer the phone and you can tell even before the conversation just kind of start that little bubbly sensation or whatever it is, it's inside of you and you're going, how am I going to deal with this now? And you're thinking about the Lord somehow or other, you make it through to the end of the conversation, or if it's someone you're meeting at work that day and you know what this person's like and you know how that person can agitate you and you just don't want to be there, but you're there, you're surrounded on the porch of Solomon. And the Lord was taken care of, and you should be taken care of too, because the Lord lives within you and he will not leave you orphan. So praise God. And that's the only answer or statement I can make that should happen for all of us. We're coming to a time, I think, where you're going to be greater aware of what you're supposed to do and what you have to do. We know what's on the horizon and we know what the Lord's plan is, and you're just going to have to step up in the Lord, because he's going to make the step up. You know, it's going to just happen. It has to happen. You'll be on that porch. You'll be amongst a good brother at one point in time, and that's going to be a nice time. And then you'll be facing the enemy of the hosts of heaven. So you're not alone. You know, you're when you need to be that David against the big Goliath, you will. But it's not that you have a stone you're going to throw at him or sling at him. It's all set. You win in the end anyway. So what are you going to do? Cower away? Cowardism is a sin, and you're free from sin. That cowardism in Revelation chapter 21, you're not a coward. This is not a person slinging a gun or has a peacemaker, because the peacemaker is something quite different than that peacemaker. So the way I see it is if we're coming into this tribulation time and we know what how many days we'll have, you know, to the day, if he's going to tell us yet 7 days, my wrath is coming, and he's telling you that when the first day starts, even if you tell someone, they're not going to comprehend it or believe it. So you know that in 3.5 days, a greater tribulation is going to come because the people are not wanting to listen to the Lord. And then the wrath comes later. Why would they mix the wrath in with tribulation when you're supposed to go with, in order to enter the kingdom, you have to go through much tribulation. So they're coming against the word. So once you know that first day, when the Lord tells you that first day, then I think the Lord's going to prepare you for that too. And even when you know that first day comes, then would it be better to go through to the seventh and be one that is alive and remain? Or is it better to be martyred? So either way, what crown is greater? But we don't look at it that way. It's not my will, but your will, Lord. That's the only answer I could give on what the future holds for us. And I believe that we have to become different people as the time to the end comes. We'll be getting more and more. We have so much. You look at the time when you first got saved that you didn't know anything. And yet when you meet up with someone like that, and the power of God is working through them, and you're so excited, finally I can hear this person talk to me about the Lord, and I've been waiting for this all my life, you know, and you're just excited about it, that this is happening in his life. And it actually, you go, wow, it was that simple. This person just came to the Lord, and it's like out of nowhere it happened. And out of nowhere it's going to happen for you for every single thing that is in your life. That's how I'm looking at it. I just said, when God does it, it surely does happen. It just follows through. And you know, it was like, wow, you know, that's God. That's the power of God working now. And it's great. It's great, and it's lovely, and you get excited about it, and you just want it to be that way all the time with you. You know, that this practice and this presence and of the Lord is there, you know. Is it in neutral, you know? When does it go back into drive now? You know, could we put it into drive? You know, you want to make lots of noise and downshift and all the way to first gear and rev up? or does the Lord shift that gear for you to slow you down? I'll take this on. You know, here they teach you, you know, when you're on ice and you want to stop your car, you downshift, even if you got an automatic. You know, you put it in first gear and the engine takes all the forward momentum out of your car. You're not stopped yet, but at least there's less power in the forward momentum, and the engine itself took the power out so that you could get stopped here. So this is what I think the Lord is doing, that he just wants to stop you where you're not supposed to go and steer you straight. You know, it's a Tesla. He's doing it all. You know, it's one of those smart cars that's so smart it drives for you. And you're that vehicle. You know, he steers you into the place you have to be. And he doesn't leave you, but you're there. You're in the theater of this thing that's going to happen in the future. You know, and it's a battle. You can't say, well, I think I'll just go around and not avoid this. You know, if you're there, you have to let the Lord take care of it. And you look at the story of Jesus and all the Gospels, and he's the best example. He didn't shy away. You know, he wanted to go to they wanted to go to the feast, and they said, well, Jesus, they wanted to kill you. And we were just there, you know, not too long ago. They wanted to kill you. What are you going to do? He says, okay, you all go before me. I'm not going yet. Then it's when you read it for the first time, you go, well, I guess he's not going, you know, what's going on? And then he ends up going, you know? So he wanted to go alone, and they didn't get him there either. They didn't get him there. It wasn't his time yet. The Lord reveals things to you, and he's going to reveal what he has to reveal to you. Because you're in this theater, you're not alone. He's there. He's going to pop it into your head. He's going to turn you in the right direction. He has to do this because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you're seated in heaven, anything the Father speaks about you, it's going to happen. When the great white throne happened, the books are open and the book of life is there. All God has to do is say, very likely, all that are in the book of life on my right hand. All of creation is already resurrected there. You already went through your first resurrection. And he's going to say, all those on the right who are my sheep. And even if you're a goat and you hear it, you won't be able to walk there because you can't. He said it. And if you're a sheep, you're going to be over there on the right. This is the power of God Almighty's word. And he says it for you here now because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He doesn't fumble the ball. Man does, and we have to be on course all the time. This rudder has to be knowing what to say, and you do know what to say. You know far more what to say than many people know what to say, because you've been counseled this way. In a ministry that knows what God wants, and it's God's ministry, UBM. Not anyone else's. But we do love each other, and we have more experienced brothers and sisters around us, and praise God for that, and praise God for all things. Glory to God. And I'm not saying I have everything, but I'm the type of person who's always been looking for people to encourage me. And I you know, if I would kidnap Paul's friend and say, you're staying here, you're going to be my encourager from now on, you know, and that's what I want. I want to be encouraged, and I want to encourage that Almighty really does mean something. Praise God. Glory to God for all things.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. That was good. Just remember, you have everything you need already in you. You need to go hunt it out and find out what you got. Amen. What's available? Praise the Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
On that note, I'm just going to say it's really nice to be retired.
You bet.
Spend a lot of time in the Word and in prayer. And I hope some people are kind of fasting somewhat and praying for us and praying for the situation we live in. Anyway, praise God.
Yeah. I know the local here is fasting and praying. All right. Anyone else? And I know some of y'all are also. Okay. I'll see y'all later. All right, Pat, you're up. I see that concern in your face.
What did I do?
You were going to talk about what you wanted to talk about tonight.
Okay.
If not, we can go to something else. That's it.
Yeah, no, I left that one, Michael. Maybe the Lord would bring that around some other time. And
okay,
I'm already moving on another thing. But I would like to say, I just want to thank everybody. Thank the Lord and thank everybody for this meeting tonight, because it seems like everybody spoke into my heart. You know? So I just wanted to thank everybody and appreciate it. Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, Carol, go ahead, sister.
There was another tool or weapon that was so instrumental. There was, as soon as the enemy was trying to put the attention on the pressure of the stress that I was feeling, in that moment, because of the surrender, belief, Lord, that's when he accompanied me. There was such a presence of the Lord, and he spoke and he said, I'm in charge of the pressure cooker because I'm refining you. And as soon as that shift happened, I was like, there's that beautiful, I think it was Rihanna that said that, or Claire, I can't remember before, but about that beautiful fruit after you've gone through that incredible pressure. And it was magnificent. So that instant shift that can happen. So yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I think the word that would be scripture backing that is that indeed the Lord is sovereign. Indeed the Lord is sovereign. And then the Jeremiah scripture that came with that, where he said, I know the plans I have for you. Right, not to harm you, but to bless you and prosper you, which fits the scripture you read, Michael, before as well, but to bless us with every spiritual blessing. And that's what came after that as well. So that's my other little weapon.
Okay, praise God. I would recommend, if you haven't already, get the book Faith for All Things. That's a good book. It's got some phenomenal testimonies in there and some good teachings. If you don't have it, get it. It's really good. People are writing in, saying how well they're doing. Okay, anyone else? You got a house full there, Isaac. You know, we're going to pray for you, brother. Is that Geneva in there, I see? Yeah. Hey, girl. Good to see everybody. You win. Party time over to Payne's house. All right, anyone else? Oh, Mom's there. Hey, Mom, what's up, girl? Yeah, I see you. Come up in there in them PJs. I'm telling you the truth. Go ahead, Pat.
I guess if nobody's going to jump in there, I wanted to just flip something out. Maybe this even ties in with what I'm thinking or was even saying today, tonight. The Lord has been kind of focusing me on or showing me, I'm going to say probably the last year or 2 years maybe, on and off, and I keep seeming to come back to it, and this is this perfection in Christ. The aspect of our sanctification process being connected, kind of pictured like going the Israelites or going into the wilderness, and that perfection process, God taking them through the wilderness and really revealing in them, not revealing for God, but revealing in these people, the Jews, head to head with an issue or problem or whatever, and their only solution obviously was God. And they would ultimately reject it, and then Moses would, you know, bring God into the picture and, you know, correct it or whatever. But they went through this wilderness process, and then that old man, that generation, died. And then there was a place and a time when Joshua led the new man, the next generation, across the Jordan. And there was an experience that was much the same as kind of typified the same type of experience as when they first got saved, the first conversion, shall we say, through the Red Sea. They died, were raised up, entered into the wilderness, went through the wilderness until that old man died and perished, and then a new man went, a new child went into the promised land, where the waters split the same way. They went through on dry ground. And so there's a kind of parallels, but a second work, I guess you might say. The second work was more of a focus of taking the promised land, wasn't so much trying to fight the battles or the going through the wilderness, learning those lessons, but it was a different thing, taking the promised land. And I guess the thing, and so I kind of put that parallel on a personal level of the same thing happening, say, within me. Converted, you know, come to the Lord early. Lord leads me into the wilderness. And then, is there a second experience here? And I just put that out there as, you know, fitting the type and just to even to consider. And so maybe this is what I have been, I guess, inwardly seeking the Lord for. Is there something else there that moves me, say, from one state to this next state? And so I just, that's in a sense where I was kind of hovering, I guess, in the word type of thing. Now, the thing that I thought about today, as I was kind of pondering this, is that interesting thing about it, that when the children of Israel went in on this second phase, went in to take the promised land, they didn't take it all. There were parts of the land that they did not conquer. And that, because of that lack of conquering, that has rippled through history and had effects, you know, even up to this day and age. And is there a parallel there that we may take on a personal level, apply on a personal level? So I kind of toss these things out, not for answers, I guess, but just for things to think about or chew on or whatever. I personally believe that God wants to take us to a place of complete, the salvation experience complete, so that all of the combatants in the promised land have been neutralized. Now, and so that's where I'm at right now, is on the personal level. I believe God is going to do that on the corporate level, because I believe this is what the latter rain anointing will empower. But I believe that if, like I said before, if you're not aware of it, if you're not aware of something, can it really take place? And I guess I'm in the place of, I want to make sure I'm aware. Is this true, what I'm thinking? Is this a reality? Is this in the scripture? Is this something that I can hang my faith on and look to the Lord to perform in us? Because at this point in time, I believe that God wants to do that within us. And I have to also say that sometimes when we're going through personal struggles or personal, you know, when I say struggle, it may not necessarily be a failure. It may be the unknown and struggling to find the light and find the solution the process that we're all going through all the time, it seems like. But so I guess I'm feeling that I believe if this is true, if God wants to bring forth this total, complete salvation, perfection, however you want to say it, within us, then I want to be aware of that of all of that, what that incorporates, what that means, and be in tune with it so that when he decides to pour out this anointing, this latter rain, or maybe former rain for people, that we're in tune with it and we're in sync and we can cooperate and be in sync with that process. So I just thought I would throw that out. That's what I've been thinking here lately.
Okay. Did you want to say something, Rio?
Yes, I agree with what Pat said, and we want that too. I think that's awesome. But I have something else that I wanted to add, and I think, Isaac, you guys weren't here this morning or earlier when we started. We prayed for our little town, and they had a vaccination clinic that was going on, and we prayed kind of against that and so forth. I just received this email from work. Listen to this, and it's an update that they sent to the whole mind. Everybody works there. They say, this morning, approximately 20 people, contractors and community members, were turned away from the TAS Health Clinic in the first hour as they did not have an appointment. The information, the posters and the emails that we received from TAS Health indicated that walk-ins were welcome, and we advertised this to our workforce. So I have spoken with the TAS Health representative today, and they have apologized for this mix-up at their end. They were unable to let me know if and when the next clinic would be, although they will run the three-week follow-up clinic for those who booked today and received their first vaccination. We are very disappointed with this lack of planning and communication and the unnecessary disruption to everyone wanting to attend the clinic as walk-ins. We encourage those who plan to attend today to seek out other opportunities for this vaccination. Praise God, the Lord.
God answered that before we ever prayed.
Before it was already on the flyer, already had the disruption, amen, confusion. The enemy is confused in their camp. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Father.
Fighting each other.
We can do that to everybody, can't we? We can do that all over the world.
A lot of fun.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Thank you, praise Father. Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Woohoo. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. That God of ours is so awesome. Lord, you can read. There ain't no time with him. He just sits up there and smiles. He said, watch this. I'm fixing to do something. Go ahead, Carol.
Gosh, I'm on a roll tonight. That reminds me to have a praise report as well. Wow, as if we haven't had enough success today. Wow, thank you, Jesus. My little sister, okay, is she believes in God, but she hasn't made the connection with Jesus yet. And she has had the gut feeling to not get the COVID vaccine. Thank you, Jesus. And so, but there's a lot of pressure around. She's in the school system now. Okay, she just started this new job, and she's not a nurse, but they put her in a position where she helps the students when they don't feel well. They come to see her, just, and then she takes time with them and calls the parents to come get the kids if they're not well. However, because the schools are so overrun with this whole COVID thing, they're now like, They came to her and said, you're going to be giving the injections to the students. And my sister is like, I'm not a nurse. And of course, I'm always behind. She tells me all these stories and I'm praying. I'm on my knees. Oh, my God, protect her. Don't let her participate in this. And she doesn't want to, but she has that fear of losing her job, right? Because money's very tight. Her husband's not a believer, like really not a believer. So the bottom line is she said, I'm not comfortable with that. So, but then enemy comes around again. And the new thing, which was this week, is they came back and they said, you're going to help us now. We're going to be calling every single parent. And that's how they're talking. And we're going to ask them for proof that they've been vaccinated. They need to show us proof they've been vaccinated for them to come to school with their students. And my sister's like, she had no idea what to say, but she took a deep breath and she said, and I kid you not, that morning I prayed for her with a friend. I said, God, let her know who you are and which name is above all names. And I had spoken it to her a few times, but she kind of throws it back. And she said, Carol, she says, I have to tell you, when they told me that I would be having to call the parents and asking for that, she said, Jesus, help me. So she got his name. And I said to her, I always plug back in. I said, there you go, Nancy. That's the name. What happened after? Within an hour, they came back, the confusion of the enemy in the camp there, Ryan. They came back and said, oh, finally, I guess we found out we don't have the right to ask them that. So we're not going to be doing that. Let's keep praying, brothers and sisters. Let's keep praying for the salvation and for, you know, the enemy to be all confused and turned around and God protecting his children. And the other thing I have been praying for, because I don't know if the U.S. is like that, but here some people have been injected with placebo. So I have started claiming that my family members and some of my brothers and sisters in the Lord that gave into taking the vaccine, I'm saying, Lord, they've gotten the placebo. That's what they got. They got the placebo. That's it. So keep claiming that.
That's what I'm claiming for my brothers and sisters, my natural brothers and sisters too, Carol, is that they got the placebo. And I hope they found out that they did too. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. That's a good testimony. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Okay. Yeah, Angelica wants us to pray for. Lord, we just lift up Angelica and we thank you, Father, that you have already made her an overcomer. And Father, we just ask that you give her a heart of humility, a humble heart, and replace that old stony heart with one of flesh, your flesh. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty good work in her and a quick work in her. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for Angelica, bringing her out of that old pride and self and all of that stuff. And Father, I just thank you that she is dying and you're coming alive in her, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Y'all believe that? Okay, now I'm going to tell Angelica she's already overcoming. She's already an overcomer. All right, anyone else? Boy, it's been a good night tonight, hasn't it? Yeah. Oh, I've been praying that for you, Jenny. I'm just kidding you, girl.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I see them tight lips. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Rhea.
It's Kay. I just wanted to say that I think it was maybe a month ago or 6 weeks ago, we prayed for my dad. And he texted me just now to say that his knee, so it hasn't been as much of a supernatural healing as I'd hoped, but it is completely healed and he can walk without crutches. And I think it's really humbled him, and he's been asking for prayer a lot more and been really grateful for prayer and saying, you know, thank God a lot more. So I'm really grateful. And I know Missy also grabs onto every small little thing she sees in her family that's bringing them closer. And I do the same thing. I'm so grateful that the Lord is drawing him closer and closer.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you all know, what the Lord's told us on that prophecy, it's going to be a lot of people that are going to lose it. That's not to dishearten us, because we know what our job is, to bring them in, pick them up and bring them in. And that's why these type of meetings are really good, to encourage us to know who is inside of us and what we have to do to keep him, make him bigger and bigger, is to get in the Word and find out what those blessings are, what those, all those blessings, every one of them. And we'll walk in that overcoming lifestyle that he wants us to walk in. Something that came to me the other day. That I wrote down, and I got it from someone else. Jesus is our healer. He doesn't have our healing. He doesn't give us healing. He is our healing. And if we have him, we have healing already. When Jesus moved in, he brought everything with him. And all we have to do is claim it and walk in it. Praise God. You gonna get on that four-wheeler, Nick?
That's my new one.
All right.
Yep, it's a 2018.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, I got three of them.
How do you ride three of them?
Well, I ride one each day.
Well, you got to get four more then. One for each day.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a good looking four-wheeler there. I want one that's got seats in the front and seats in the back, so I can haul all these kids around with me when they come and visit. All right. We're about out of time. Anybody got anything else? Messi, is that you again? Or are you just waving? Okay, come on.
Speaking of what Claire said about clinging on to every little thing I see, the other day I was telling Merle about stuff that David shared about and saying about getting some extra food, to share and stuff, and about getting some money out of the bank, and I had forgotten that we had gotten a little bit out a while back. Probably around the beginning of the year, right before the beginning of the year. Anyway, so I mentioned that to him, and the last time I had asked him about getting some, some extra food, I said, "You think we should get some?" And he says, "No." And then this time he said, "Yeah." This is the first time he was like, totally like. I mean, he didn't want to get a whole lot. I had him go along with me to Sam's and. I felt led of the Lord to get like soups and ravioli and stuff that was already pre-made and just easy, Anyway, so that was an encouragement, and we did get some extra money out of the bank or whatever, and he's been more open to talking about that. He's afraid of getting too much, He's looking at the expiration dates on the food, and I'm like thinking, no, we're going to need it soon. 2 years down the road, it ain't going to be here. But I didn't say that. But anyway, so and I just wanted to give a praise report yesterday. One of those headaches tried to call me, and the day before that I had a little bit of it like all day long. And I was like, I got up in the morning and I was like, oh my gosh, here we go again. And so I texted Julie, Barbara, and Marilyn, and just asked them to pray, you know, for me and do some warfare. And like maybe 3 hours later, it was completely gone. So, which is very unusual, you know. Okay. It's not normally my experience. So I just praise you, Lord, and thank you, Lord. And then today I was out walking, and you know, I just had such energy and just felt so good in my body to get out and walking, best I felt in a long time. So I just wanted to share them as a praise report, and thank you, Lord, for all that energy and healing and victory over the enemy. And I thank you, Lord, for strengthening us all to fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold on life eternal and confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses, and for giving us bold faith and strength and power by your Holy Spirit to overcome in all our trials, Lord, and for being there for each other, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you for all my brothers and sisters and in this room and local. And you know, it's been almost 10 years since I started getting on the outreach, and I'm just like, it's been such a lifesaver. You just don't, I mean, I think any of us, even for the short amount of time that we've been on, can really say that. And it's a lifesaver, because, you know, Jesus is in each and every one of us, and he's the lifesaver. We need the Jesus in each and every one of us. And so love you all and bless you all. Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
You've really changed over the 10 years. I can tell you that much. I ain't going to go into it, but you've really changed. Praise the Lord. And an overcomer. We've been an overcomer too. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's amazing when you stop and think about, gosh, I can't believe it's, you know, beginning of January will be the 10 years. And it's just like, on the one hand, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, that's a long time. And then other times it's like, that was 10 years ago. It's like, wow.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're out of time, it looks like. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. Just like I've said so many times before, I know that golden thread is knitting our hearts in every one of us, and you're just yanking it closer and closer together with you, Lord. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Father, that the time's coming that Pat was talking about, perfection through Christ, and that the perfection you're looking for is Jesus in us. And we praise you, Father, that you're doing a great job in us, and we're just relying on you to filter out all the old junk and leave nothing but you left. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for not allowing winter this year where I live, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. All right. Good night, y'all.